Campus Radio.
Really stoked to have you in the show here. Because people from overseas in Europe probably have no idea who you are, because Australian music is not extremely, or Australian hip-hop music is not extremely popular in Europe just yet. Yeah. So maybe you can just give us a really brief wrap-up of your history and what you do currently.
Yeah. My name is Hao Latukefu. I'm currently the host of Triple J Hip Hop Show, which is the only nationally broadcasted hip hop show in Australia. So it's you know, without tooting the horn too much, it is quite a big deal, and it's a great responsibility to be able to play hip hop for Australia. My background is I'm an MC for a group called Coolism. We put out our first release in '92, and ever since then, we've been creating music. And I considered a pioneer of the hip hop movement in Australia, as you know, around that time there wasn't much happening, but currently it's a flourishing movement. You know, a lot of artists are doing well, so I'm proud and also privileged to still be a part of the culture here in Australia.
Speaking of that, do you think there's like one hip hop scene in Australia, like one community?
There was one for a while, but as you know, as genre expands and gains more popularity, it starts to branch off, which I really like. You know, as a one community, it's cool because you know everyone, and everyone sort of moves in the same circles and has one sort of goal in mind. But on the other hand, I love the fact that people don't feel like they need to be part of a scene. They're just happy to do their own thing, create their own music, their own style. So at the moment, yeah, there's all different branches coming off that that one piece of culture that started way back.
Because I have the feeling that especially in Sydney, the scene is really well connected. Everybody knows each other. Whereas when I think of like back home in Germany, it's more like an industry. It's not even, yeah. You don't even have small scenes. It's more an industry. Everybody's just doing music and the scene kind of vanished.
Yeah, I can see that. I think because, well, I was in Germany in '98, and I saw what I felt was a great scene, because it was healthy, everyone was really doing things and making money, which, you know, obviously it's not main priority for a lot of people, but you were getting paid for what you did. And I think it probably moved a lot faster than the scene here in Australia. So it got to a point where it became a business, and for many years that's what it became, an industry. Whereas here it's still quite young. And a lot of people that started off in the scene are still doing stuff. So they're still connected with each other as well as people that are coming up. So it is quite interconnected, which I enjoy. But at the same time, it's cool seeing younger people would start their own scenes and things of that nature.
I was really keen to do the interview with you because you're kind of on the media part of the table. So you don't only make music, but you also, well, talk about music, present music. We're currently sitting in the ABC building. Maybe you can give us a little insight on that network. It's a public broadcaster, but it does have the reputation of being a little left-wing. Would you agree with that, and how come?
Yeah, definitely. I just think ABC, because it is pretty much funded by the people, so it essentially is for the people. And I think it has always offered the people something more than commercial TV stations and radio stations would offer. Especially the network that I'm a part of, Triple J, they've always been breaking new artists, as well as supporting established artists, but concentrating a lot of on underground music and independent music.
Also on local music?
Yeah, and thoroughly support local music. So it's exciting to be a part of that whole movement. Especially myself presenting the hip-hop show, I get to hear a lot of local artists that a lot of people may not get to hear. So I have that responsibility and honor of presenting that to the people. And it's a great, you know, I always pinch myself, it's a great job to be part of. Because like you said, you know, it's you talk about music. The next best thing to creating music is talking about it and playing it, especially the music that you love.
I always think that hip-hop is generally underrepresented in basically most media, especially like the radio. So I found it very interesting and very nice that you can actually tune into a radio station and every, I don't know, third or fourth song is actually a hip-hop song.
Yeah.
And just generally the variety on the station on Triple J is amazing.
Yeah.
So do you think that hip-hop is generally underrepresented?
I don't know. I'm on one hand, yes. But on the other hand, the people that do represent it are people that know this stuff. You know what I mean? And I don't know. As a hip hop fan from way back, then you know I still have this little bit inside of me of this is our culture. You know what I mean? And I'm kind of a bit stingy with who listens to it or be a part of the culture, but at the same time we can't be like that in 2014. It's a global phenomenon and everyone has that opportunity to listen to it and deserves to listen to it, but you know, there's that part of me that still thinks, you know, that I'm a bit selfish with it, but so I'm in two minds about that, but I definitely think it is underrepresented, but when it is represented, it's represented well.
So you already mentioned you started out as an MC.
Yeah.
When did you decide that you want to also like present music? Was that something you had in mind from the beginning or did that come later?
Yeah, that just came later. There was no desire to be a radio presenter. It just pretty much fell in my lap. The previous host, Maya Jupiter, big up Maya Jupiter, who hosted the show before me, when she would go on tour, she was also an artist as well, when she would go on tour or when on holiday, she would ask me like, oh, do you want to fill in? And I'm like, okay, this sounds like cool, you know, sounds really cool to get to play the music I want to hear, and it was a lot of fun. And then when she decided to move to LA, Triple J asked if I was interested in taking up the job full time. And I was like, oh, wow, yeah, this is a great opportunity. It's, but on the other hand, I didn't want to jeopardize me making music or me being a part of the station and then them not supporting the music I made because I worked there. But they assured me that that's not the case. So I'm very, you know, it has to do a lot with being in the right place at the right time. You know, because I'm from Canberra and I lived in Canberra. And then I moved to Sydney and then that's when it all started happening. And if I had stayed in Canberra, I don't think, there's no way I would have been part of the station. So I'm very, very lucky, especially since a lot of people go to school to study media and aspire to be on the radio and where it just fell in my lap. I'm just like, yeah, very fortunate.
So apparently it wasn't the case that you were kind of uncomfortable or unsatisfied with the current state, how hip-hop is represented? Because I have a lot of journalists in Germany start out because there's quality journalism in all sorts of fields, but not in hip-hop because there aren't any people who know of the culture.
Yeah.
So they just play music. So a lot of people feel the desire they have to get in there to make sure the culture is properly represented.
Yeah, exactly. Well, when the show first started, I think it was, yeah, it must have been over 10 years now. Yeah, over 10 years now. It was hosted by a lady who wasn't from the culture but appreciated hip-hop, but didn't come from the background of hip-hop and didn't know too much about it. Big up Nicole Foote. She did her best, but a lot of people within the hip-hop community were like, she doesn't know anything, you know, and who is she? You know how hip-hop people are.
You usually recognize that instantly if someone is just playing the music?
Yeah, I just think the way they talk about the music, you can also see that they love the music as well, but they just may not know a lot about it. So it's not like she didn't like the music. She liked the music, but just wasn't from the background. And there's a lot of people in hip-hop, because, you know, hip-hop people are very finicky, and they were like, she shouldn't be doing it, you know. And then she went on, Maya Jupiter became host, and I think people were a bit more like, okay, she kind of knows what she's doing, because she's from, you know, she's an artist herself. But yeah, for me, like I said, I had no desire to become part of it. And as far as representation of hip-hop, I was happy with Maya doing it. because I felt like she was one of us, and she had the credentials to present the show. But I feel me doing it now, a lot of people that weren't too happy with my are happier now, because I have a lot of, you know, I've been listening to hip-hop since primary school, like mid-80s, so I know my stuff and people appreciate that. Yeah.
Speaking of like education about the culture, you've got a lot of that in your show as well. It's a 3-hour show, one should say. It's not just like an hour or so, it's 3 hours, so it's pretty massive. And you've got this section called Respect the Architect, where you just play the samples and songs that sample these original songs. How important is that to you? And do you think people actually appreciate that and dig deeper afterwards?
Well, that's the reason I feel that I'm doing it. You know, that's when I was growing up, they had a, on the same station, they had a show called Rhythm Method, and they would play funk, soul, hip hop, and they would play old funk songs. And as a kid, I never got to hear that because I got into hip hop, and then they would play old funk songs, and then I would hear, oh shit, that's the song that Public Enemy used, or NWA used, or Ice-T used. And I didn't have my head wrapped around sampling at that time, but I just knew that's the same piece of music. So what's going on? Like, are they stealing this, or what's happening? Then you realize that they sampled, and you understand the process of sampling and creating hip hop. And so that's what I wanted to do with my show. I wanted to present it to the listener. You know, say, okay, well, this is the original song, and the song that you're listening to today samples that, and there's a lot of influences that go into hip-hop, and there's a lot of culture that goes into hip-hop that began before the culture. And for me, I always dug back and dug deeper, and the aim is, well, the hope is there that people will do the same. They don't have to, you know, it's not law, there's no real laws in hip-hop, but at least I want to present that knowledge to them, and it's up to them if they want to take it further.
Because I think that's a pretty unique thing about hip-hop, that it's so deep,
yeah,
both on the beat side, also for the lyrics. You can, like, have really deep lyrics that needs some time to understand them, you need to listen to them a few times.
Yeah, because hip-hop is a mash of many different things, many different cultures, different genres, and it's new. It's still fairly new in the scheme of things. It's a new genre, you know, starting in the the 70s, whereas you look at rock, you know, that's a lot older, jazz, gospel, so it's fairly new music genre, and you're still able to dig deep and find out who started this whole thing. That's the beauty of it, you know. It's not that old. It's like, what, it's like 40 years old, 40 plus years old, so you're still able to go on the net and go, oh shit, African Bambaataa.
And the cool people are still alive.
Yeah, the people are still alive, and they're still touring. And that's why I encourage people, like, man, go see Africa Bambaataa, because he's, like, one of the pioneers. He's still alive. And then, you know, when you grow older, you can tell your kids, you know, like, you know what? I saw Africa Bambaataa DJ at this club. He started this music that, you know, that they might be listening to. So it's a beautiful thing that you're still able to do that. You know, you kind of go out and see, like, Chuck Berry and, you know, Mozart.
Yeah,
you know, so exactly. People should really take advantage of that and check them out.
Another section you have in your show is you invite people, I think, once a month to call in and freestyle. I reckon there's some really kind of embarrassing moments or funny moments. How do you deal with, like, some, you don't want to, like, you know,
laugh about them,
you don't want to laugh about people on the air, but sometimes it's really like,
yeah, it's a hard one, because I feel if it was like a one-on-one thing, I'd be able to say, you know what, you're getting there, you need more practice. But at the same time, I'm not going to say that to this person who probably built up a lot of courage to ring live national radio to rhyme in front of thousands of people. You know, it takes a lot of courage and guts. So you don't want to just, like, chop them down in front of everyone. So you try and be encouraging, at the same time not try to sugarcoat it, you know what I mean? Just like, okay, yeah, that was cool, you know, maybe say it to you, like, you know, if you keep going, it'll be, you know, be stronger. But it is, you know, there are some embarrassing moments, but that's what makes it, I feel. It's live national radio. You don't want to have every caller, like, think, like, this mad MC, which would be pretty cool, but at the same time, you know, it's it's part of being human, you know. There's all different emotions, there's all different skill levels, so yeah, it's a good thing. I like when people call up and do that.
Yeah, it really gives the show a certain character.
Yeah, you know, and I think people really appreciate that they can be a part of the show as well. And it might encourage them to continue making music, or it might not. You know, they might think, oh shit, maybe I'm not that good. And people will hear it, and yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So you're broadcasting on a really big station. Do you know about the indie radio culture, and is there a lot of student radios around in Australia? Or is that more... Well, it's probably hard to establish them because they're just a few big cities and you don't have too many smaller cities.
There's a lot of community radio. That's what we call them, community radio stations, which are stations that just broadcast within the city. And they're very important. Very, very important for hip-hop because they are more likely to play a lot of hip-hop that we may not play. You know what I mean? And for an artist, that's still a big deal to get played in your own city. You know, so they play a very important role in the whole movement and culture. So a lot of people from Triple J come from community radio, from FBI radio, which does a lot of big things for hip-hop as well. Except for me, you know, I just go straight to the top.
Well, so is in the US, college radio is hugely popular.
Yeah.
And I think we, like in Germany, we have a lot of small radios, especially student radios, but they're really not as big. But I think we profit from that people know these college radios. Yeah. So when we ask them to do an interview, they like have this college radio thing in mind, think it's a huge thing, whereas it's a really local thing.
Yeah.
Generally, I found it hard to find media that report about hip-hop, where you can stay up to date, like blogs, magazines. Yeah. There are some free magazines laying like, train stations, so that was kind of my entry point. Did I just miss all of that, or is it just a pretty thin...
Street Press has a lot to do with presenting local... covering local hip-hop music and tours and events. In terms of blogs, I just think because the community is not that big yet and not that established, even though you have artists going number one and selling platinum records, that's still very few considering. So I think there are a few blogs that are covering local music, but I just think the output is not as much and maybe not at a certain standard yet, where there's so many great unsigned local talent that, you know, you have to have blog and updating and everyone go check it. You know, it's not like Two Dope Boys or something. And whereas they're posting like so many posts in one day because there's so many strong artists. You know, I think, yeah, locally it's not at that point yet.
I also like to talk about a broader topic, which is the indigenous culture that you have in Australia. Because...
Yep.
Well, historically, hip-hop came from people who were oppressed in their country, in the States, or at least were very poor. And you kind of have that situation in Australia, or at least had it. It's probably, you can argue about that. Whereas in other, especially the European countries, you don't really have, like, at least like, whole peoples who are being oppressed or very, very low in the society. Do you think hip-hop is kind of a music that indigenous people get onto to talk to?
It's interesting, you know, being a non-indigenous person, I probably couldn't comment too much on that, but I know that the indigenous friends that I have connect with that. It's like when hip-hop came to Australia and minorities connected with it straight away, you know, Europeans and the islanders and Africans, like they drew to hip-hop because they connected with the blacks and Hispanic culture that was in hip-hop. But yeah, I think there is a lot in common with the state of what their race is in the countries. And I think a lot of indigenous artists have a lot to draw from and able to tell a lot of stories. And I think, I feel like as an outsider, I can see that a lot of indigenous artists use hip-hop as a vehicle to convey their messages, and or not even messages, like just what they need to say. But also a lot of indigenous people love country music. You know, and desert reggae. That, you know, they love that form of music, and they use that as well. So, but I think maybe for the younger generation, hip hop is the key, because they just grew up with it. A lot of them love the Snoop Dogs, their Tupacs and stuff like that. Like Islander kids, they love that stuff. So I think it's a good gateway, and then they discover it from then on.
So you already, or I know that you travel a lot, and you already mentioned you've been to Germany. I think you connected with the people from Heidelberg, right? Yeah. You told me that like 2.5 years ago, yeah, I think. Yeah. And you probably know Torch then?
Yeah, that's
veteran.
Yeah.
So I think it's quite funny, because I think there's a lot of similarities between you and the people from Heidelberg. They were like the first to make it a bit bigger in Germany, the first to actually rap in German, yeah, too. But I feel like there's not a lot of respect for the veterans in Germany, so there's a lack of that. Whereas in Australia, I think people do have a lot of respect for people like you, or also like people like Earth Boy, for instance, yeah, people like that. Do you feel the same?
Yeah, definitely. I think it goes back to the saying that it's still very young culture in this country, and we're still active, so people still see us doing things, and even though they may not like the music, they still respect that. You know, we've been doing it for so many years, and know what we're talking about, because we put in a lot of work and we put out a lot of music. So the respect is there. And it's great. You know, I always feel like, you know, you don't have to like my music to like me, or, you know, respect me, you know, because everyone has a different taste. But, yeah, it's a beautiful thing that people will acknowledge that, you know, you were there from, maybe not the beginning, but from, you know, almost from the start.
How important is music if you travel? Do you go check out, like, try to find out about local scenes if you go somewhere else? Or is it something you don't want to be bothered unless you, like, stumble upon it?
No, I don't care about it. No, I'm joking. No, of course. It's hard, though, traveling, because, especially in a country where English is, like, maybe like third language, second, third, fourth language, you know, depending where you go. And if you don't have a connect in that country, it's hard to find things. So I'm always open-minded to look for it. But I'm not actively looking, because, you know, I'm with family or something like that. And, you know, I don't want to take, my kid doesn't want to see that stuff. But if there's something on, I'm always like, okay, let's go check it out, you know, because when I went to Europe that time, that was like an eye-opener for me, you know, because hip-hop in Australia at that time was nothing like hip-hop was in Europe. Like, kids were breaking, you know, everywhere, and music was highly respected, winning awards. It was like, Australia was like Europe. Australia now was like Europe back then, you know what I mean? So I'm always appreciative of music. And plus, you know, I've always loved, like, hip rhyming in, like, Spanish and Italian and French and, you know, German, because it just has that different feel and different vibe. But at the same time, you know, I don't want to play something on my station that I don't know what they're saying.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, they might be saying some wild stuff, and I'll be just playing, oh, yeah, this sounds good. And some German kid probably listening to it, oh, I can't believe this guy's playing this song. So, yeah, I'm always open to international hip-hop.
All right, let's talk about your own music. Yep. I know that you, like, put up songs every now and then on SoundCloud, but there hasn't been any album release recently. Are you planning on that, or is it for you just something that you do as a hobby, and whenever you have a song you release it, but you're not, like, following a career in that?
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm definitely working on a solo album, which will be out this year, and a mixtape that will be coming out before the album. Those songs that I've recently put up were just done on the spot. It's just like, I'm feeling like I want to write a song, and it's beautiful that I'm able to do that. You know, like, thousands of people may not check it out, but it's beautiful for me that I feel like inspired. I can write it, record it, and then just put it out there, you know, for people to appreciate. And but yeah, definitely nearly finished the album, actually. I'm heading to Melbourne this weekend to work on it. So, yeah, I'm saying by mid-year the album will be out. And I'm very excited, you know, because working with Coolism for 20 years has been excellent, but going, I feel like it's a new start for me to record this solo album.
Sounds very interesting. So we're keen to hear some music, and we'll probably play some of the songs.
Yeah, man, I'll send it through.
Thanks a lot for your time.
No worries, anytime.
Thanks for the inspiration, because I think when I was in Australia for the first time, I kind of listened to your show, and it was kind of gave me back the faith in radio, so you can actually play cool stuff on the radio.
Oh, beautiful, thank you.
Let me go back to student radio in Germany, so thanks for that.
Awesome, no, my pleasure.
No worries. Thank you.
No worries, man.
Campus Radio. Bringt auch was zwischen den Ohren.